For Jody, too, and for Zach leading, yeah, so a lot of incredible things happen. And turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And I know some of you are like, wait, didn't we do this same passage last week? We did. There's no rules. It's crazy. There's just absolutely no rules. So we can look at the same passage 2 weeks in a row. That's what we're going to do. Last week, we looked at this passage, and we kind of looked at it as the fine print of what church looks like, what we should expect when we show up to church. What are the terms of service, if you will, the expectations of belonging to a people of God. And this week, we're going to look at the same passage and ask ourselves, how do we actually get there? How do we arrive at what God has for us as a church? So if you would, follow along with me. I want to read the passage, and then we'll dive in. This is starting with verse 11 in chapter 4. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray together. God, would you help us this morning? As we look at your word again, would you just reveal the truth of it? Would you show us what you have for us? Would you show us the path to get there? God, would you grow us up as a church? Would you unite us? Would you bring maturity amongst us, maturity in Christ as we follow him? God, we give you this time to speak to us, to use your word to reveal the path before us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to picture this, a 6-foot NFL player standing at a bar in a ballet studio, surrounded by dancers half his size, moving with grace and precision. This is the story of Lynn Swann. Some of you know him, of the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the 70s, while defenders were trying to crush him down the field, he was off the field practicing ballet, surrounding himself with the art of pliés and other things. But he earned a reputation for his incredible balance, his incredible agility. His highlight reel includes him leaping through the air, dramatically catching passes, dodging people, stepping over them quickly as they try to tackle them. He was counted for on his ability to remain standing. There are yards that every coach wants for his football team, and I said that like I know a lot about football. But the most coveted yards are the ones that are yards after contact. Players are expected to not just get tackled at first contact, but rather to dodge it, throw them off, and continue to advance down the field. And he was a master of yards after contact. In his interviews, he credited his ballet practice. He was able to advance because he was able to balance. He was able to advance because he was able to be stable and agile. Things that would knock others down kept him going. And I think Lynn Swann makes for a good picture of the vision that Paul paints in the passage we're looking at this morning. It makes a good image for the vision of our church, the vision of Trinity. In other words, we need to be willing to do the work, to do the ballet of faith building so that we can remain stable, balanced in our core, have the agility not to just remain standing, but to continue to advance. is the picture Paul paints when he describes and he warns the church that waves will come crashing. And for the immature, those that aren't being built up in the body of Christ, they'll be tossed around to and fro. And yet he gives us a picture of how we can remain standing and yet still be built up, growing. Verse 16, he ends it saying, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. This is the vision that Paul paints for the church. This is the vision that I want to articulate for us as a church, for us as Trinity. The vision is to grow healthy. The vision is to grow healthy, a church that is so strong in our faith that we don't get knocked down. The vision for our church is to grow healthy so that we can move forward. That we don't fall as we advance, but rather we continue to press forward, rooted and grounded in a mature and strong faith, held together by Christ Himself. The vision is to grow healthy. Paul paints a picture of both momentum here, the expansion of the church, the growth of the church, and he paints a picture of the health and maturity in the church. And so our vision is that we would be growing and growing healthy. That we would not just be expanding, but that we would be expanding and advancing because we are solid to our core, that our faith is strong and able to withstand anything that may otherwise knock us down. I want to not only articulate the vision, but I wanted to share the need. What need is required? Why now? Why do we need to hear this message? Why does Paul write to the Ephesians with this? And I want us to see this, that the waves are coming to crash. This is what he says in verse 14. So that we may no longer be tossed to and fro like children by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, human cunning, craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Paul is clear that the waves are coming to crash us. Every believer, every church will experience waves. And the need is momentum backed by maturity. The need for our church is momentum backed by maturity. We see both of these at play. Momentum has always been for the church. Growth has always been the call of the church. Expansion has always been the call of the church. We see Paul talk about this. He says, it makes the body grow. It expands. And yet, he says, so that it builds itself up in love. In 13, he says, we'll all attain the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We see both momentum and maturity walking in step with each other. What Paul's describing here is not necessarily the specific bad things that will happen to us in life. He's not articulating necessarily the trouble and specificity of that will happen to each of us. What he's talking about here is sort of the mental aftermath that washes over you as you respond and you react to the tragedies of life, to grief in life, to struggles in life. What he's describing here or winds of doctrine, human cunning, deceitful schemes. In other words, it's not just the loss of someone that will knock you out. It's that the grief that comes, when it distorts what you believe about God, that's what will knock your faith out. Grief can sideline us because of what it makes us believe about God if we're not standing firm. Tragedy will knock us down because of what it makes us believe about God if we're not standing firm. In other words, it's a fragile faith that can keep the church ineffective. It's a fragile faith that keeps us from advancing. It's a fragile faith that keeps us being knocked down instead of moving forward. We're to have momentum that's backed by a maturity. God has so much for us as a church. There's so much that He has called us to do. There's so much momentum to be gained, and yet there's a maturity that has to be there so that we can withstand and advance when the waves crash over. We cannot move forward if we're falling over. And so the vision of the church is always expansion, growth, and momentum. But at the same time, there has to be a maturity that will allow us to be standing as we move forward. To have momentum without maturity is going to be short-lived. It's going to be short-lived. And I want to just celebrate the fact that we have a lot of momentum as a church right now. If you sort of look under the hood at the different pockets and places of our church, you can find a lot of momentum. Our church membership is growing. Our generosity is expanding. Our giving is up. Attendance is slowly trending up. We're leaving the country again for international missions. We're leaving our church again into the community. There's momentum in pockets and places within our church. This is good and to be expected. We are to grow and expand. There's a lot of momentum to be had, but we should expect that this momentum will be tested. Scripture says that trouble will come, waves will come, and if it's not standing on maturity, it will be short-lived. Yet on the flip side, to focus solely on maturity without ever wanting any momentum, without experiencing any momentum, is short-sighted. There's a temptation to make this about our own pride, to make our maturity sort of a flex and to say, look how serious we are as a church. Look at how much we know. Look how much we take church seriously. And we begin to sort of just make maturity a badge of pride and become inclusive and never actually step into the momentum that God has for us. The picture that Scripture paints is both moving forward. There's a clear momentum, but it's backed by a maturity that's only found when we build ourselves up in Christ. I want to talk about the path to get there. We're looking at this passage again because last week we looked at it through the expectations of belonging to the church. We sort of defined what health looks like. That a healthy church brings others along. A healthy church is expected to include those. A healthy church is a church where Jesus leads. And yet this week we're going to look at the path to get there. How do we actually get healthy? How do we actually grow healthy and build the kind of maturity that allows us to step at pace with the momentum that God has for us? How do we continue to advance without being a church that's fragile in our faith? How do we stand firm when things can otherwise knock us down so that we can continue to move forward with what God has for us? I want to spell out the path this way. It's just simply everyone growing in Christ. Everyone growing in Christ. This is what the passage says, until we all attain to the unity of faith. Equipping all of the saints is the idea. It's so that we're made mature. It's so that we are established in our faith. Everyone is going to be on a path to maturity in Christ. That's the vision that Paul paints. That's the vision of our church, that we are to grow healthy and that every one of us here is on a path to that maturity in Christ. Because otherwise, our faith is vulnerable. The faithfulness of God is not vulnerable, but our faith is vulnerable. We are waves away from being knocked down, some of us more than others. I want us to picture a three-legged stool. A three-legged stool is often the illustration for stability. If you're standing on two legs, it's going to get knocked down. One leg, it'll never even stand up. It's the picture of stability. And I want to just kind of use that as a framework to begin to ask the question, evaluating our own faith. What are the core elements that keep us standing as the waves are crashing? Have we evaluated our spiritual strength? Have we evaluated our faith? The readiness for the next wave? How well are our feet planted? How strong is our core? How stable are we and balanced as we stand against the waves? I want to spell it out this way. I want to present to you just three words that we can remember together. Bond, bow, bond, and build. They're in your outline in the little box there. We'll cover these. But I want to present you these as a path. As sort of an assessment, things that we can look at as core. I want to clarify that we're not inventing a path here. We're simply clarifying one. And this is not a vision that we have found somewhere. This is a conviction to be faithful to the vision that Christ has for his church. This isn't just a direction that we should agree with. It's one that we have to commit ourselves to. That so we can advance, we need to be building up our faith, strengthening our faith so that we can advance, so that we can move forward. I want to just give us a few things to recognize about bowing, bonding, and building. The first is this, that these are essential. Bowing, bonding, and building are essential. That's in the little gray box there. In other words, this is sort of the ready position. This is stop, drop, and roll if you went to public school in the 90s. It's just the quick, easy assessment of how strong is your faith? How stable am I at the core? It's the three-point sermon we can all preach to each other as we are trying to stay strong. Are we bowing? Are we bonding? And are we building? These are the essential things that God has always prescribed to his people. Always to be orbiting around worshiping him. Always to be connected to one another relationally. And always being co-laborers, building his kingdom alongside of him. These are essential. It's essential. We aren't just inventing the path. We're clarifying what Scripture over and over again has says, this is the path to maturity. This is what it looks like to be built up in Christ. To bow, to bond, and to build. I want us to recognize that these are opportunities and not obligations. And you don't have the space to write that down. But these are opportunities. These are not obligations. It would be so easy for us to quickly make these check boxes, to make these religious obligations, things that we could all take an assessment, check a box, and feel good about ourselves for accomplishing. I want to push us forward away from that idea, that to understand that these are not just religious obligations, but rather these are opportunities. What Scripture says here is that these are for us. These are gifts that Christ paid for his church. We are to see these as graces, helps to us from God himself. They're opportunities. Worshiping is an opportunity to bow before the Lord, to bless his name. Bonding with one another is an opportunity to be built up the way that Christ has for you. To build is an opportunity to work alongside God for what he has for his world. These are incredible opportunities that God has built for us, instituted for us, designed for us to participate in. It's far more than obligations. We're to see them as graces, helps to us. All unique ways that that he's over and over again given us to build up our strength, to work on our core faith. I want us to see that they're just helpful indicators. They're helpful indicators. It's a place to start. These three things are articulated as just a helpful place to start. As you assess the strength and stability of your own faith, they're just ways to clarify where you might be at. As you evaluate your faith, as you picture those that have come and gone and have left and walked away from the faith, it might be no surprise to you that as you investigate and look under the hood, that when someone gets bumped, a wave comes and crashes and they walk away, that perhaps time and time again, it's because they weren't standing on all three of these legs. Maybe they weren't regularly bowing before God, orienting their heart around regular worship. Maybe they didn't have real community. They weren't bonded with anyone in the faith. Maybe they were stuck on the sidelines, never really trusting God that he'd given them a gift, that God would make them useful, working with him, alongside him to build his kingdom. These are just fairly good indicator, or just these are just indicators of what it means to evaluate the strength of our faith. It's an attempt to just articulate what only God can really know. Only God can really know our hearts. Only he can know the condition of your heart. But this is an attempt to articulate what you might be struggling with, what you might be standing on in preparation for the next wave. So I want us to see, just recognize this for what it is. It's not a report card, but it's kind of a report card. But as church leaders, as pastors, we have a responsibility to assess the health of your faith. Doctors look at your blood work. Dermatologists examine your skin. Acts 20 tells the pastors and leaders of the church, pay careful attention to your flock. Assess their spiritual health. Assess their health of their faith. This is a responsibility we have, not only from leadership to membership, but to one another. To recognize that this is a place where we are growing in maturity in Christ, and to have a way to recognize that and evaluate it, we need helpful indicators. Just some markers as a place to start. And so that's what bowing, bonding, and building are. They are essential to our faith, core and fundamental as it's laid out in Scripture. They're opportunities. They're not just these religious obligations. And they're just a helpful place to start as we evaluate the strength of our faith. So let's walk through these and describe what they are and what they have for us. So bowing. This is bowing to God in worship. This is public worship with the gathered body of believers. We're talking about here, Sunday mornings, being here with others, worshiping God, being built up through the proclamation of his word, the testimony of others, and singing praises in worship to his name. So good job. You guys can check that off the list. And we'll shame everyone else who didn't make it today. But this is what we're talking about. Bowing before God in worship. God has always built up his people. He's always established his people through the obedience of regularly gathering together to worship and praise his name. He called the Israelites out of Egypt to gather and worship him. When he established the nation of Israel, he called them to gather in the temple courts to sing praises to him. He called the early church to gather together and never forsake gathering together. Even in the picture of eternity in Revelation, we see the gathered body of believers praising his name. We have to understand that we are deeply wired as the people of God for the necessity of regularly coming together with a posture of worship, bowing before God so that it humbles our hearts, so that it orients us around him, so that we can begin to have everything in our world come under submission to him. That happens when we regularly make a habit of worshiping him, singing to him, praising him. And yet so often our understanding of the worship gathering, at least in modern day church, can be reduced to its effectiveness based on the content available to consume. And not the content that you bring. The picture that God lays out for worship in Scripture is us bringing our heart to him. Bringing our heart as an offering, as a sacrifice to him, to praise his name regularly, to bow before him. To regularly gather together and all in the same accord submit ourselves to God. We just sang it. I think the lyrics, I'm probably going to get them wrong, but I'm not God, you are God. What were the lyrics? Somebody help me out, Zach. You are God and I am not. We need to say that. We need to sing that. That needs to get deep in our heart. That's the idea of bringing our heart to worship regularly, gathered with others in one accord, just saying that over and over again, bowing in a posture of worship. Bonding. Bonding with others in discipleship. That's what the idea of bonding is. Bonding is describing a real relational connection. There's a proximity, a vulnerability, a real friendships when we bond with one another. Bonding with one another is different than just sitting next to one another. Bonding with one another is more than just attending a smaller class with one another. Bonding means vulnerability. Bonding means investing in each other. Scripture describes over 50 one another's is what they're called. These are commands of how we are to treat each other, how we are to relate to each other. I want to give you just some examples here. Love one another, feed one another, share with one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, hang out with one another, that's a paraphrase, encourage one another, correct one another. I heard this morning that there are some people that are in their whole small groups vacationing with one another. So you know they'll be going through this list. But the idea is that Scripture lays out so much of what is good for building our faith with a prerequisite. So much of what Scripture says is good for your faith comes with the prerequisite of having another in your life. That you have to have another. There's a partner required for these to be fulfilled. Over and over again, Scripture lays out what is best for cultivating our faith, for strengthening our faith, is a community where we are doing it alongside each other. We are with each other as we are with Christ. There are people in our church who've had waves crash over them, gone through really trying times, and remained faithful. Instead of being knocked down, they continued to advance, remaining faithful. And I cherish their texts, their emails that all pretty much say something to the effect of, I don't know how I could go through this without my church family. I don't know how I could go through this without my church family. And first I want to say, you weren't supposed to. You were never supposed to go through it without your church family. And praise God that you went through it with them. This is the call. This is the picture that the stability of our faith, the foundation of our faith is Christ and Christ building each other up while we're all building each other up in love. There's a bonding that is essential as we strengthen our faith. Building. Building is building the kingdom with God-given gifts. Building using your gifts and abilities. This is the idea that we are co-laborers with Christ. Essential to building our faith is building alongside Jesus. That essential to strengthening our faith is actually trusting God that He's given us gifts, He's given us abilities and resources to build alongside Him. Verse 16 sums it up this way: when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Essential to us strengthening our faith is trusting that God has us building. I want us to recognize and move past the idea of just simply trying to make the world a better place. Everyone can get on board with trying to make the world a better place. And yet what building is so uniquely to Christ, He calls us to make Him king, to pray for the kingdom to come, implying that Christ becomes king. I want us to see that where Christ is king, the world becomes a better place as a byproduct. Our aim should be that Christ becomes king and that we build the kingdom alongside of Him with Him properly positioned as king. This means that we have to accept that the King has given all of us gifts to help build His kingdom. We're to accept that truth, that we're not to sit on the sidelines, that building His kingdom is not for others, it's not for those that are more advanced in their faith, that this is core to the strengthening of our faith. That part of the maturity for us to ever find momentum is found when we believe that core to who we are is joining Jesus in building His kingdom. We're to be bowing. We're to be bonding. We're to be building. I was thinking back to the story of Lynn Swann. What would motivate him as a successful football player to still practice ballet, even though he never planned on taking the stage for a performance? In interviews, he would credit his experiences in life, his experiences and success on the football field to his previous experiences dancing. What gave him his agility, his aptitude on the field, came from his work in the ballet. He also inspired others to do the same. Herschel Walker, the legendary running back, also practiced ballet, using it to enhance his skills on the field. Steve McLendon, a nose tackle, found ballet to be an incredibly demanding workout that improved his quickness off the ball and balance for pass rushing moves. N'Kobe Dean, a linebacker, focused on mobility, stretching, and agility using ballet. Rob Gronkowski, the tight end, was filmed taking a ballet lesson as a form of cross training to improve his athleticism. What would motivate us to focus on building our own strength, our own faith? What would motivate us to focus on our maturity as a church rather than just running forward to advance? It's the same motivation. It's the same motivation that Paul lays out, that if we are to advance, if we are to find momentum and join Jesus in expanding His kingdom, growing His kingdom, we need to have the maturity and the ability to stand as things knock us over, as things come to knock us over, so that we can keep advancing. We heard about Eric. Liberia needs more schools. We heard about the needs that Dwayne is out there. There's needs for homes being rebuilt and restored, families brought to Christ through all of this restoration, families brought to Christ through Christian education in Liberia. We have kids in our own community, our own church. There's about 60 kids gathering every Wednesday night in the youth group. Could we imagine equipping them, advancing to where just even a percentage of them were into full-time ministry or went into missions or continued the advancement, the momentum that's happening here? This is the motivation for us to recognize that we have to become strong in our faith, mature ourselves into Christ so that we don't get knocked down, but we can continue to advance. This is why we grow healthy. This is why we bow and bond and build, because it's the maturity that's required for us to have continued momentum, to make it down the field. It's what gives us the stability to keep advancing when life tries to knock us down. So I want us to just end a little differently. We're going to take some time to do a personal assessment, to do a personal evaluation with God leading it as we do it in prayer. So I want to walk us through that. At the bottom of your bulletin, you'll see there, you'll see bow, bond, and build. There's a little circle. You can use that in different ways. You can circle the ones that you are doing. You can circle the ones that you aren't doing. And next to it, there's a line. And you can use that sort of as a scale to assess where you are. Imagine 0 to 10. And pick a spot. You can also use that space to write on it. You can kind of write things that, next steps that you feel like God has prompted you to, or things that he has shown you as we pray and reflect together. But I want this time to be an assessment. We're going to look at the vulnerabilities in our own faith, where we can be building a stronger foundation, where we can be bowing, bonding, and building together. There's a combinations of those that each of us may fall into. I'm really bad at math, so I assume there was probably going to be like 4,030 combinations of bowing, bonding, and building. I asked ChatGPT, and turns out there's only 9. There's only 9 combinations that we can be. We can either be all in, fully checked, every one of these, all out, or 7 in between. It gave me names for each of these combinations as well. If you check all 3, you're a triple threat. You're a triple threat against the enemy. Right? You'll be able to stand firm, not be knocked down so that you can continue to advance. But I imagine most of us are some combination. Maybe we're regularly bowing, worshiping each week, but we haven't trusted God with real relationships, real bonding, real friendships here. Maybe we're worshiping, but we haven't really believed him that we have a gift to build the kingdom. We don't really accept our positions as co-laborers with God. Maybe we're busy building. Maybe we're really active and involved in ministry teams, but we don't posture our heart regularly towards worshiping God. Maybe we can check all 3 boxes because we got really good at playing church. Maybe we're only thinking of those who we know left the faith and we're just doing an assessment on them. I want to call us back. Call us back. Go to God and begin to put your heart before him so he can walk you through this assessment. Where are we building our faith through bowing, bonding, and building together? I'm going to take a moment to just reflect on those things, and then we'll walk through each one as I kind of guide you through this time. it comes to bowing, how has worshiping God become optional? Do I see the worship service as an opportunity to bring my heart to God, or an obligation? Confess where you've fallen short, ask for forgiveness, and seek God for grace. Ask God for help in trusting that bowing before Him will bring strength to your faith. When it comes to bonding, has building friendships here, real relationships here, become optional? Have I kept my distance, thinking I'm fine alone? Confess where you've fallen short. Ask for forgiveness. Seek God for grace. Ask God for help in trusting that bonding with others will bring strength to your faith. When it comes to building, has joining Jesus in His mission become optional? Ask the Lord where we can serve others. Confess where you've fallen short. Ask for forgiveness and seek God for grace. Ask for help in trusting that building His kingdom will bring strength to your faith. I would ask that you would continue to seek the grace that God has for you here. To see these not as obligations, but as opportunities, accepting these as helps to us. The same Jesus that says, "Come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light," calls us to these things. It's also the same Jesus that says, "Come to me, lose your life, take up your cross." How are these things not in opposition? It's not until you understand God's grace. We can look at these as easy steps, three easy steps to spiritual maturity, check boxes that might appease our God. Or we can accept them and receive them as what they are, gifts of grace, gifts that Jesus purchased. We can see them as fuel for our faith, stability to stand in the waves. And when we lose ourselves, when we lose our agendas, when we see these as opportunities to experience God's grace and not as obligations, then we will both come and die, and we will come and rest. Continue to pray, to see these as graces to you, as gifts to you. I want to invite the worship team to come and lead us in a song. I'll pray with us. Lord, help us this morning. God, you know our hearts. You know the condition of our hearts. You know the strength of our faith. God, help our unbelief. Build us up. God, we trust you with our maturity, our growth. We trust you with our momentum. And we trust you as the head of this church, that we are united, each of us, joined together because you have placed us together. God, help us to be a people that you establish, a people that is bonded together by you, that bows before you. God, a people that is building your kingdom. It's in Christ's name we pray.